Somewhere in this motley mob made up of the dwellers of a half a dozen planets, there might be a cool, level-headed, thoroughly dangerous man. The brains of the syndicate that was floating Earth and Venus with narcophene. That drug was the most formidable in the history of narcotics. You chewed it if you were insane or ignorant, and you felt nothing but a pleasant coolness on your tongue. There weren't any mad hallucinations of grandeur. You never lost consciousness of what you were doing or who you were. Just without your consciously realizing it, you felt better all around. Things that should have worried you sick seemed trivial. You could laugh at the specter of sickness or agony or anything, however fearsome, that endangered or injured you. The drug had a certain medical value. It was used to prevent total insanity in persons suffering from utterly incurable and horribly painful diseases. For with them, it didn't matter that the narcophene habit was permanent once acquired. They didn't have to fear the mental and moral and eventually physical collapse that was bound to come. They were as good as dead anyhow. But for others, and the man who would reorganize the once-smashed industry of manufacturing and smuggling it was on Pallas now. That much the Home Office of Tri-Planet Law knew, and it told Mac. That was all their best operatives on the inner planets had been able to dig up. And from that point onward, nothing. Those who could have told more were addicts, and those who had tried to tell more were dead, murdered. There was a TPL office on Pallas, of course, but it was a one-man outfit. And the one man seemed thoroughly incompetent for this job, at least. His reports had shown him to be unable to even begin the job of tracking down the man. Hence, McCauley. For the sake of appearances, McCauley threw a bill in number 28, lost it, and moved on. Nobody in the neighborhood of that table corresponded to the vague physical description he'd been able to glean from the scanty reports. Nor he found it anyone in the house. That didn't prove anything, of course, except that the man Mac was after wasn't at this particular place at the time. Or naturally that the description McCauley'd been given was wrong from the ground up. But that wasn't a thing to think about. He shrugged and moved toward the exit. The room was packed worse than ever. He had to shove his way through. He kept bumping into people. He noticed. Then he looked around. It wasn't so much that he was bumping into people he found, as that people, represented by the kitty, were nudging him. "Oh, for the Lord's sake," he cried tiredly. "I tell you, I won't give you anything. Now, get away from me, and stay away if you want to keep living." The kitty shrank into himself and seemed to whimper voicelessly. The glow gland set around his eyes shone a pinkish purple of fright. He started to say something in the primitive sign language that his race used to communicate with aliens, but halted the gesture and abruptly turned and slunk away. His slight frame, the size and appearance of a 7-year-old boy's, vanished almost immediately in the pack of hulking Venusians and attenuated, pallid stick men from Mars. McCauley didn't pursue him. There was no reason, of course, for him to do so. But that, of course, like so many others, was wrong. There was a definite reason for Mac to follow the metal's mad asterite. Mac found the reason when he reached the cloakroom. He reached in his pocket to tip the pretty terrestrial check girl and found not even a pocket, just a slit that had been made not more than 10 minutes before, through which the pocket itself and contents had been neatly extracted, presumably by the kitty. "Damn," was the best Mac could do, but he said it with feeling. He was casting about in his mind for something he could say to the girl that might make her forget about tips, when he saw the kitty himself luminescing a vivid green, scuttling out the front door. "Hey," he yelled, and it wasn't only a desire to get away that kept the kitty from looking around. He couldn't hear any more than he could speak. Language failing, Mac took stronger measures. He left his sport silk jacket on the arm of the bewildered girl and sprinted after the kitty.